And up next on the program, we're happy to welcome back to the show from the Boston Globe, Bob Ryan joins us. Good afternoon, Bob.
Good afternoon, Rich.
My goodness, what a week it has been in baseball. Did you see any of this coming?
Well, back when? I mean, how far back do we have to backtrack the story? No, seriously. I mean, what do you mean? Did I see it coming last Sunday? Did I see it coming starting with the heads that fell in Houston, followed by the Cora head, followed by the Beltran head? So I guess we felt, I would say all of this was logically predictable a week ago, that the end result would, not the end result, but one of the results would be that the Astros and the Red Sox and the Mets would all lose their managers. So I think everything was quite predictable.
And it seems to be like peeling an onion. The more we learn, the worse it gets. Now we're hearing about players with buzzers. We've moved past just banging trash cans in this one.
Yeah, I love the trash can thing. Talk about elementary. I was amused in the beginning, thinking the marketing prospects. You know, you can have a hardware store sponsor. You know, with the trash can, the Houston Astros trash can of the Astros. You know, but all kidding aside, this thing is appalling, and it's the last thing baseball needed, because baseball has enough problems with the length of the game and the down trend in attendance and the trying to attract young people to the game as spectators, and the last thing you need is a game in which people are now being told was not being conducted on the up and up starting in 2017, and who knows how far back it goes or how widespread it is. Have we nailed all the perps? No one can say right now.
And what happens, first of all, with some of the individuals? I mean, A.J. Hinch, Alex Cora, highly respected guys who seem to be at the beginning of great careers. People had high hopes for Beltran. Do they become absolute pariahs in the game now?
That's the question. I wondered about a lot. I certainly wondered about that, what the future is. What is their future chance of employment in this game? I don't know. We do know one thing. We know that there's the American society is notorious, famously forgiving. Certain people have resurrected themselves. It fascinates me that A-Rod has resurrected himself. Semi-respectability. He's a television face. The Yankees have put him back on the payroll. And he was the only player in the history of the game that's suspended for a year for transgressions of any nature. Managers were. You know, Leo Durocher was famously suspended in 47 for, quote-unquote, consorting with gamblers, unquote. But anyway, A-Rod's been resurrected. But a lot of other people haven't been, and along the way. No, I wonder about that. I seriously wonder about that. And Alex Cora is 42 years old. Granted, he's made money. He made money as a player, more than you and I make, for sure. He's made money, I hope he put away some good money as a Red Sox manager in those 2 years, and they are paying him still. But, he's got to work. And Hinch, I don't know how old Hinch is. But, you're right, they were respected guys. And Beltran's just on starting his new life, you know, it was just starting it with, as a manager after being a renowned player. I don't know what this future holds for any of them.
The irony is that sign stealing has been an honored part of the game forever. We talked to the late Ralph Branca a number of years ago, and then he chatted about how Bobby Thompson was getting the signs. Is it the use of technology that it's taken it to this dark place?
I got to back up here. Sign stealing with your eyes has been an accepted part of baseball and a legitimate part of baseball, for 100 plus years. There's no question about it. There's nothing wrong with trying to decipher and sniff out signs with your eyes. Once you introduce technology, now the Bobby Thompson thing, I'm unclear on this. Everybody's kicking around this idea that Branca went to knew for years and complained for years about the possibility or the Giants had stolen signs. That is not my take on that. My take is I read the book, Jonathan Eich. It all was revealed in the Jonathan Eich book, Echoing Green. And it wasn't until that book came out that the whole thing was outlined. And so I think from that point on, Branca, then he found out. He and Thompson were famously paired up for appearances for years.
Right.
Became friends. And then after the revelation that... Then Branca, so it wasn't like he was saying this for 50 years. No, And by the way, I know I'm on an aside that you probably don't need, but I'm here. I'm supposed to do it. I don't care if Thompson knew that fastball was coming on that 1-0 count. The ball was up around his neck, okay? And when you listen to the it was an improbable swing on an improbable pitch to start with. And even if he knew it was coming, the ball was around his neck. He didn't groove one, okay? And so, you hear the, I listened to that recording as a kid a billion times. I have that record, The Greatest Moments of Sports from CBS Sports.
The Russ Hodges call?
Yes. And then after that, the locker room, all the interviews, and you can hear Brenken, he's saying, I'll hear Thompson say, it was a bad high inside fastball. That's exactly what it was, a bad high inside. So I am saying that Thompson's home run was not the result of stealing the sign. I don't care how many other signs. Now, what I am pained by as a Giant fan of longstanding, of growing up, the Giants won 37 of the last 44 games that year to catch the Dodgers after being down 13.5 games on August 11th. And obviously they benefited if their signs were being stolen to win many of those games. And had they not won one fewer game, had they won one fewer game, the Dodgers, you know, there wouldn't have been a three-game playoff for the pennant, and the Dodgers would have won the National League pennant.
No, that was great. Speaking of iconic baseball moments, I love the memories that you shared on social media with the passing of Don Larsen of hustling home because you heard something was happening when Larsen threw that perfect game in the World Series.
Sure, I'm in our neighborhood, and I lived in a neighborhood with, you know, where we all played together and all the seasonal sports around the year. I went to a parochial school, and when you go to parochial school, and the nuns are baseball fans, you're going to have their game on in the radio, and that's exactly what happened at St. Joseph's School on Sherman Avenue in Trenton, New Jersey, and so we knew that when we got on the bus that something good was happening, that Larsen was throwing a perfect game through like six. It took me about 10 minutes to get home. I walked in and watched the rest of the game, which ended, by the way, as you probably can guess, in about 2 hours and 10 minutes. You know, it started at 1, it was over by 3:10, and then you go out and play touch football. A lot of people could relate to that grew up in those times, that's the way life was.
We're talking with Bob Ryan here on Downtown. You spoke eloquently about the late David Stern on your podcast. How important is he to the history of the NBA?
One of the two most important non-playing figures in the game, and along with Red Auerbach, and who had his influence obviously on the court as well as, you know, executive. But in terms of taking the game and helping transform it as a business property from a mom and pop store, which it still was essentially in the early '80s, relatively speaking, what it has now become, an international conglomerate. Excuse me, where its tentacles are in several continents. It was his vision that was able to get this propelled in the right direction. He recognized, and he was very greatly benefited by the Holy Trinity of 80s basketball, Magic and Larry at first, and then Michael coming along. Magic and Larry set the table, and Michael, you know, got the meal produced. And Stern was the chef. And got it done, no question. You can't. All these owners today, whose franchises are worth upwards of $1 billion, and in the case of the Clippers, if the Clippers are worth $2 billion, you know what are the other teams worth? They have to thank David Stern.
And as you mentioned too, he was unique because he was also an approachable commissioner.
Oh, he was there were guys. You know, he had his. There were people in the media that he clashed with, and were the victims were going to receiving end of his somewhat rapier wit at times, who didn't look as didn't feel as finely about David Stern as I did, but there are plenty of us on my side. But he was approachable, and he liked dealing with the media, and appreciated the media as a basketball fan, which he was to the core.
Speaking of your podcast, which is absolutely wonderful, you got a special offer going through Patreon for people to become patrons and get some bonus Bob Ryan podcast material.
Well, that's true, and I can't even speak to the intricacies of this. I'm going along for the ride. I'm glad that people are able to promote me in that fashion. But I am happy to have that taking place. And yeah, you know, it's a podcast world. It's an amazing thing. I'm going to tell you something very quickly. When I first had a podcast in 2017, the creator of my podcast said, "How many podcasts do you think are out there?" I said, "I don't know, 25,000, 50,000. At that point, 3 years ago, as we speak, there were 350,000. So I would think that the number is approaching seven figures now.
Oh, it has to be. Absolutely.
On every topic, you can imagine. Stamp collecting, I'm sure. Obviously, God knows the most predominant ones are on politics, sports, and entertainment in some fashion. But every conceivable niche is being accounted for in the podcast world.
Bob, which college basketball team do you find most entertaining this season?
So far, in the ones I've seen, and I need to really hope I can step it up, Gonzaga at their best. They're good. They really are good. And they're unlikely to lose. You know, I can't see them being dislodged unless they stumble and by only beating teams by 6 or 8 instead of beating them by 20. But I expect that they're going to romp through the league as they often do and maintain that. But that doesn't mean that they're the predominant favorites. I'm just talking about being number one. I enjoy them. I haven't seen enough of all the teams this year, and it is a very odd year. Because so often we do talk about it being wide open, and in reality, it comes down to there's only five or six teams that could ever, you could say, win those six games in a row to win the tournament. This year, there might really be double-figure teams that could put those six games in a row together, which I think will make for a really fabulous March.
We had the Oscar nominations earlier this week. What's the best movie you saw last year?
That's a good question. I would say it's a photo finish. You know, we had to get the Marriage Story over Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Marriage Story is I'll say this to people who haven't seen it. Someone described it to me this way: if you go with your wife or significant other, and your relationship is solid and good at that moment, you're going to like the movie. If you go with your SO or your wife, and things are a bit rocky. Oh, boy, you're going to walk out of there. You might take separate cabs home.
Oh, dear.
So just warning people, it's powerful. It's extremely well written. It's extraordinarily well acted by Adam Driver and oh, my God, tell me.
Yeah, Scarlett Johansson.
Well acted. Yeah, right, and it's wonderful. But Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, I just enjoyed it. It was a great ride. It's a little bloody in the end, if people don't know.
Yeah.
But to get there, there's a lot of laughs and a lot of good bonhomie between DiCaprio and Pitt. And people seem to think Pitt's a shoe-in to win Best Supporting, but it's a very powerful, there's several very powerful categories, and that's one of them.
Yeah, that was a great ride. I watched that last weekend and loved it. Bob, as always, great to have you on with us. We appreciate you making time for us this afternoon, and we look forward to catching up with you again very soon.
Anytime. You know that. Take care, Rich.
Thank you, Bob. Bob Ryan of the Boston Globe with us here on Downtown.